World Water Day is coming up next Tuesday, and in celebration, EOS Eco Energy is offering people a close-up look at some of the brooks and streams in their own watershed. In an online lunch and learn session on Tuesday, EOS's Miranda Corkum and Lauren Clark will present the results of water and habitat assessments from the Tantramar River watershed. And CHMA's Erica Butler spoke with the pair earlier this week to find out more about how they're studying the watershed and what they learned.
So I'm Lauren Clark, and I'm a project coordinator with EOS Eco Energy. And last summer, I carried out habitat assessments on Joe Brook.
And I'm Miranda Corkum, and I am the water quality project coordinator for EOS Eco Energy. And I carried out water quality assessments last year in the Tantramar River watershed. EOS has been monitoring water quality in the Chignecto watershed since 2018. This is a project that's been funded by the New Brunswick Environmental Trust. So we have sort of three main areas that we've been rotating between. So the Tantramar River area, Cape Tormentine Peninsula, and Rockport Dorchester. So we're looping back through now. In 2021 was the second time we visited the Tantramar River area for sampling.
EOS has done habitat assessments and riparian zone assessments in the past of different rivers. So we've done the Gaspereau River and Johnson's Creek, but this was the first year that we took a look at Joe Brook, which flows into Silver Lake.
We do two main sort of kinds of measurements. One is called in situ. So these are measurements we take in the field with a probe in the water. And these are measurements that include things like pH, temperature, conductivity, dissolved oxygen, total dissolved solids, and salinity. And in addition, we also took bottle samples, so collected samples of water, and we took those samples to a lab, a chemistry lab called RPC in Moncton, and those samples were measured for a large suite of parameters, 59 different parameters in total. You know, we got down really into the nitty-gritty of the chemistry of the water. So those are the two main kinds of data we collected. We saw a lot of similarities between the years. 2018 was a bit of a drier year. So the overall water quality results were in many cases poorer in 2018 compared to 2021, just because of the high water temperatures and the low dissolved oxygen that we saw. So, you know, from that perspective, 2021 was a good year. Although we also, in 2021, came across some higher levels of metals at some sites that were not observed in 2018. So metals like cadmium and lead, for example. So, but overall, our conclusion was that the state of our watershed health is good. There's an index that we used kind of to give a broad picture of ecosystem, watershed ecosystem health. And it's something that allows us to compare, like across Canada, we can kind of compare really different areas using this index. So anyway, good actually really means average. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, pristine water or anything. It's we have some highly impacted rivers in this watershed. And so I don't want to make it sound like, you know, great, we're doing great, like nothing to fix, because there is, we weren't excellent. Excellent would be something to strive for.
I also took a probe out into the watershed, and I was taking similar measurements, like in situ. And then the majority of the work was looking at the water, it was looking at the banks of the stream, it was looking at the substrate, like what kind of substrate was underneath. Was it gravel, rocks, sand? And we were also looking at the flow of the water. So we would measure like the width of that particular spot. We would measure the depth of the water. And for the banks, we would sort of look at the type of vegetation that was on them, whether we thought they were eroding or stable. Things like that. And we would do that every 25 meters along the Joe Brook. And we did 7.7 kilometers in total.
it's nice because I also measured Joe Brook. I looked at the chemistry and metals at the outflow end, like outflow of Joe Brook in input into Silver Lake. So it's really helpful for me. It's helpful for me to understand my results by looking at Lauren's data. So, you know, I can, you know, because we have a lot of numbers and we look at these and try to figure out where they come from, and understanding the path of the water that you're measuring goes a long way in helping us to interpret those results. So it is important to say, we've never actually mentioned, this is baseline data collection still at this point. So, you know, there's not really a definition of how many times you go out to collect data when it's still baseline, but, you know, it can take a while, you know, to really get a sense of what the normal is in a watershed. And there's large gaps in between our sampling years. So, you know, we're still really at the start of things, but, you know, different things that we observe, we do, even though we're measuring chemistry, we do still look around to see what else might have changed in the last 3 years at our sampling sites. Like, has there been, new logging, or have they cleared more brush off roads? You know, at one site this year, there was a new, at the Fulkins Drive site, there was a new sort of bridge built this year. So those are like sort of obvious changes right at the sample site that we can see. And, you know, we try to pay attention to things. If there's been any changes that we can see in sort of agriculture or land use, like, for example, I know last year when they looked at the Rockport Dorchester area, there was a lot of changes. There was a lot of new logging that happened fairly recently. So that was something that we could record and kind of, you know, use that to help understand the numbers, and also just record so that we have this sort of place to start from, you know, looking back in a number of years. So there are a lot of groups in the province that are doing this kind of work. The province relies heavily on nonprofit organizations to monitor the quality of the water in New Brunswick. So it's a pretty solid project. It's probably here to stay, but, you know, you never know. Nothing is guaranteed till we get that letter. All of us rely on our clean water for everything we do. Education is a big part of EOS Eco Energy's role in this water quality work. And so, you know, we want to make sure that community members and landowners know what watershed best management practices are, because we can improve our riparian buffer zones by doing things like sort of larger things like fencing water courses near farms, planting trees or greening the zones next to the water courses. But also just, you know, maintaining the maintenance of domestic septic tanks is something that, you know, individual homeowners can look to improve. All of us can reduce chemical inputs that are going down our drains and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe making the decision to pave less, whether that's your own personal driveway or what have you. So, there's definitely things that we can all be thinking about, just little things that make a difference.
And that was Miranda Corkum and Lauren Clark of EOS Eco Energy in a report by Erica Butler. To hear the details of what Corkum and Clark learned about Joe Brook and the other streams that feed into the Tantramar River, you can join them on World Water Day, that's Tuesday, March 22nd, for a lunch and learn session online. Check out the EOS Eco Energy website for details on how to join the session.